Do you want to listen to Adventist World Radio SID Media but struggle with data? Don't worry. Get yourself the Hope Channel Africa decoder and switch to the Radio Bouquet to listen to your favorite Christian radio station. Contact us on +27 73 470 3520 or visit www.sidmedia.org to place your order.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
We have yet another elder who's going to be helping us as we wrap up. This is the third and final hour of the program, and we're continuing in our understanding of the will of God. And so we have the good elder who has agreed to talk to us throughout the week as far as our daily focus is concerned, to talk to us today about our moral discernment. And this is Elder Abraham Chisenga. Elder, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much.
So in the vast landscape of human experience, ethical dilemmas often emerge as crossroads, challenging individuals to discern the path of righteousness amidst competing values and interests. And for Christians, this journey of ethical decision-making is deeply intertwined with their faith, rooted in the timeless principles of values espoused in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're asking, how do Christians define ethical decisions making within the text of their faith? How do Christians define ethical decision making within the context of their faith?
Okay. Allow me to begin this way. Christians bear what I may term as dual citizenship. Meaning, aside from this earthly citizenship, Christians also belong to a heavenly kingdom, because the Bible does testify that immediately one comes to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, with their role of dual citizenship, you will notice that in many instances, the values that are espoused by earthly kingdoms, in a number of instances, will agree with the values of the heavenly kingdom. But there are also instances when the two values are at variance, in which case Christians are expected to abhor the values of the heavenly kingdom. Now, having said that, we as Christians are actually blessed to have the Bible, which is the Word of God. Now, the Word of God governs and essentially guides our decision making, even as far as ethics are actually concerned. But in addition to that, like we have alluded to in our past meetings, we are also blessed to have the Holy Spirit that will help us with the interpretation and the understanding of God's word in terms of how we ought to navigate and apply God's word with certain decision makings that we need to make on the face of this earth. But beyond that, we also understand as Christians that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are actually empowered to live right.
Okay. So one of the foundational principles and values in Christianity that guide ethical decision-making?
With that important question that you have raised, my mind quickly races to Exodus chapter 20. And in Exodus chapter 20, you actually find the Ten Commandments, which Ten Commandments are basically a transcript of God's character, who is our Father, of whom we are His children, even as Christians. Now, it is important to understand that when Christ walked on the face of this earth, he looked at the Ten Commandments and basically reduced them into two. When you look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. And when you look at how he reduced them into two, it's about relationship. Relationship between us as human being and God, and relationship between us as human beings and our fellow human beings. And you actually realize that the key term, even in that particular relationship, is love. Love for God and love for our fellow human beings. And when we are talking about the two concepts, you discover that they are actually interrelated, in the sense that when we have a sound relationship with God, when we love God with all our hearts, it will then become easier for us to make the correct ethical decisions, decisions that will not be centered on ourselves, or decisions that will not be self-centered, but the decisions that will be right even as we treat those that are around us.
Can you provide examples, perhaps, of specific biblical passages or teachings that inform Christian ethics?
Sure. There are so many. And literally, the Word of God, the Bible, is saturated with a lot of examples. But allow me for this particular moment to just focus on the sermon by Christ himself on the mountain of blessings, which is covered in Matthew chapter 5. We go into chapter 6 as well as into chapter 7. When you glean through the Word of God, they say, for instance, when you take Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, Christ affirms the law of God in the fact that he did not come to do away with the law, but he came instead to confirm the law. But when you look at what is contained in Matthew chapter 5, you actually discover that it even raises the bar with regards to Christian ethics very high.
Okay.
Because he is not inspiring us to simply live by the letter of the law. He is actually inspiring us to live by the spirit of the law. It is there where you find aspects such as, even just by virtue of hating your brother so deeply, you will have committed murder.
Right.
Even just by virtue of entertaining certain thoughts concerning your neighbor's wife, you would actually have committed adultery. He inspires his listeners to say that, look, you have heard about people talking about love, and this love normally is talked in the context of you loving those that actually loves you. But he challenges his listeners to love your enemies, to actually pray for your enemies. By the time we are getting to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15, which talks about the Lord's Prayer, we find the concept of forgiveness. And you agree with me, this world would be totally different if we practice this particular virtue. Some of the wars that have escalated so much in the world in which we are living in have escalated to that particular level because of unforgiveness. Allow me to conclude it this way. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, we find what is commonly known as the golden rule. And in principle, Christ is teaching, whatsoever you want a man to do to you, that also you should do to another person. If we can live by those particular principles, believe me, you, this world will indeed be a better world to live in.
So how do Christians reconcile conflicting moral dilemmas then when discerning God's will?
An important question, indeed. We are living at a time, sadly, so to say, when certain arguments are being presented in favor of certain behaviors that are bordering on morality that are questionable. Okay. But we have been blessed as Christians to have the Word of God.
Okay.
If we can approach God, even through His Word, with an open heart, relying upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will agree with me that we will get the much needed guidance that we need to sail through these particular dilemmas. The big challenge that sadly we are actually facing as Christians and the world at large is simply this, that we tend to pick the challenging situations that we have, take a position over that particular situation, and try to go to the Word of God and try to glean through the Word of God to see what is it in the Word of God that can support our point of view.
Right.
But if we were to be simple, straightforward, seek the counsel of God, we'll definitely get the much needed guidance over these dilemmas that we face in life.
And in what ways do Christian beliefs about human nature and sin influence ethical decision-making?
Another important question indeed. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The Bible simply says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, says that, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard its spot? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to doing evil. So the argument at the end of the day is actually this, that by our very nature as human beings, we are sinful. We are weak. By our very nature, we are actually self-centered, so to speak. So in other words, if you were to analyze the so-called ethical decisions that are made on the face of this earth, you actually realize that these decisions, even though they are made in what we may term as an ethical manner, it is actually simply made that way because it is a means of actually achieving our selfish objective in one form or the other. So to such an extent that from the Christian perspective, what we are saying, it is important for every human being to meet Christ, to enter into a saving relationship with Christ, because He is the only one who has got the capacity to transform our hearts. And when our lives are transformed by Christ, then can we truly make decisions that are not self-centered. So as we continue to rely upon God on a moment-by-moment basis, then we will make decisions that are not necessarily self-centered, but other-centered decisions that will not only benefit us as individuals, but will benefit the world around us.
What about love? How does the concept of love, as emphasized in Christian teachings, inform ethical conduct and decision-making?
Another important question indeed. Allow me to simply put it this way. You can only give what you have. Mm-hmm. In other words, you cannot give what you do not have. Mm-hmm. And so at the center of Christian teachings is an encouragement for every human being, first and foremost, to be a recipient of God's love, or to experience the unconditional love that comes from God, from ourselves, as it has been expressed on the cross of Calvary. Okay. Once we have experienced that particular love, then it becomes easier for God to simply use us as channels through which he can then demonstrate his love to those that are around us. Mm. And in that particular fashion, our actions shall indeed be in tune with heaven. And then, only then, we will be in a position to allow our conduct and our decision to be in tune with the values of heaven.
Got it. Loud and clear. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your time and your insights. We have one more installment tomorrow, so don't get tired. We'll be looking forward to your guidance tomorrow, same time, same place here on Adventist World Radio. Elder, thank you very much for your time and your ministry.
Amen, and we praise God. Thank you.
Amen. All right, we're going to go to our lesson study at 30 minutes after 2, but right now we'll take a piece of music, and this one is from, I nearly forgot. It comes from Sonoraba with More About Jesus.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.